Amen. Good morning. You know, I have to confess that I have grumbled about doing this.
Every day.
I was like, I don't know why I agreed to do this. You know, if I were sitting beside you on a chair, I could talk to you all day long, but there's something about being up here. But as I was praying this week, the Holy Spirit said to me, it is an honor to read and teach my word. And I said, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. It is an honor to be able to share anything from the scriptures. So I repented, and I know the Lord is going to bless this. I had a difficult time because I knew what I wanted, what I thought the Lord wanted me to talk about, but I struggled. So finally, I think it was Thursday morning, at 3:30 in the morning, I got up, and I went into the living room, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, I don't know what's going on here, and if you want to change what I'm to talk about, I'll change it. I prayed for 15 minutes or so, and I had so much peace come over me, I went back to bed and went to sleep. So I'm going with what I originally felt that I was to talk about. So today, we've heard of the term man it up. Who hasn't heard that? You know, man it up. Well, today I have come to tell you to woman up. All right, woman up. We're going to embrace not just motherhood, but womanhood today. So that's the main thing I want. It's from the story of Judges, story of Deborah. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to every woman in here that's a mother. What a wonderful privilege and honor it is to be a mother. Nothing in my life has brought me more joy than being a mom. I'm sounding like my mom now when I say that. How we kind of morph into our moms is kind of funny. My mom loved being a wife and a mother. It's all she ever really cared about. And I used to think that was so shallow. I used to think, well, I mean, please, don't you want to, like, you know, have this big career or do something great or whatever? And she always just wanted to be a mother. And the older I get and look back on my life, I think there's nothing really that has brought me more joy and pleasure than being a mom. So I say Happy Mother's Day. And with that, I want to say I realize I'm very conscious, and it brings me compassion for mothers or women that this is not a happy day for you. You know, maybe you feel like you failed as a mom. Maybe you wanted to be a mom and never were able to. Maybe you have maybe you don't have your mom with you today, and that saddens you. And I have compassion for that. And I just pray for you that you will find joy today in who you are in Christ. You are a blessed woman. And that's what we will take pleasure in today. So man it up, but we're going to woman it up, okay? Before I start, you know, I wanted to just read a few quotes from a few actors. You will recognize some of the names about motherhood, and some of them are kind of humorous. Reese Witherspoon said, if you aren't yelling at your kids, you aren't spending enough time with them. Who can relate to that, okay? There's another quote that says, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, and then I want to move in with them. That was Phyllis Diller that said that. Another lady that we've all probably heard of, Betty White, she said, it's not easy being a mom. If it were easy, fathers would do it. All right, okay. Had to get a little jab in there, sorry. Couple more. Most parents do the best they can and just hope they've set aside enough money to pay for their kids' therapy. That's Michelle Pfeiffer. And then the last one is Mark Twain. He said, my mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it. And that's true. So earlier in the week, a couple of weeks ago, I decided to survey our little girls here at the church from preteen down to nursery age and ask them why they would rather be a girl than a boy. I got up some really cute answers, and I'm going to read those to you. One little girl said, "So I can dress up." That seemed to be a kind of common one. Another little girl said that I get to play with Barbie dolls and slime. She might be a tomboy, I'm not sure. Okay. Another one of our Bridge of Hope girls said, because I get to braid hair and dress up in super cool clothes. Can you guess what her age might be? Okay. Preteen. This one said she was glad that she was a girl because girls are sweet and God made me a girl, so I like being a girl. That shows confidence to me right there, okay? She knows who she is. Another little girl said, because I can play in my room with my best friend and there's no boys allowed, and girls are special, and Miss Treva is a girl. That's what she said. That one caught my heart. Another one said, this one was probably the most humorous to me. She said, I like being a girl because I don't like hot peppers. I said, okay. So she's glad she's a girl. I'm guessing she's thinking that guys always have to act like macho and like eat hot peppers whether you like them or not. You've got to eat them if you're a boy. And she didn't feel any pressure. She's like, I don't like hot peppers, so I'm glad I'm a girl. And then another one again said that she could get more clothes to dress up in. So those were our Bridge of Hope girls that are glad that they're a girl. So I'm going to read today from Judges 4. Whenever we think of Mother's Day, you know, you've heard about Sarah, who is the oldest recorded mother, I think, at 90 years old when God blessed her with Isaac. And we know about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know about Mary and Martha, who the, you know, one sat at his feet and the other one complained because she had to do all the work. And we know all these famous women in the Bible. But there's a woman in the Bible that we don't talk about much, and her name is Deborah. And so today I want to talk to you about Deborah and the story that surrounded her life and some of the characteristics that Deborah had that we need if we want to woman up. So Judges 4, I'll just start off with just saying that the Israelites were constantly, they would do well, they would serve the Lord, and then they would fall back. They would do well, and then they would fall back and do evil in the sight of the Lord. And how many times are we like that, you know, where we're serving the Lord, and then we, you know, we mess up. But God was always gracious to the Israelites, and he always, you know, forgave them and brought them help and delivered them. And so they had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and so God delivered them basically to the hands of Jabin, the king of Cana. And Sisera was the commander of that army. And the people of God cried out, the people of Israel cried out to God because Sisera had cruelly oppressed them for years with his 900 chariots, for 20 years with his 900 iron chariots. So that's where I want to pick up with verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, this is what she said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." So Deborah was, she had a lot of strength, okay? She was a judge. She was the leader of Israel in a difficult time. Was not a good time for Israel, and she was leading them in a difficult time. And so we see the strength of Deborah there, She listened and she acted when God spoke to her. So, you know, these people were kind of like sheltering in place. Does that sound familiar? They were kind of sheltering in place in fear of the battle that they knew was in front of them. And Deborah, she was strong, and she pushed past her fear, past the unknown, past the negativity, and she stepped up. And the way that she did that, the way that she found her strength, was surrendering everything to God and stepping up to lead. So, you know, moms have to be strong many times when you don't think you can. A lot of times you're like, I can't do this. You know, I just don't have it in me to do this. One of the most difficult times in my life was when my second child was born. I had one boy. He was 2 years old. He was healthy. He was active. He was a normal toddler just running around playing. And so we were expecting our second child. And this little boy was born. And immediately we knew something is not right. His feet were extremely deformed. Didn't really even look like feet. They just looked like... I don't know. They just were very, very deformed. The day after he was born, they put cast on him all the way up to his hips, and holding him, you know, little babies curl up in a little ball on your chest, and he was like this, very rigid because of these casts on his feet. He was born with club feet. That was a hard, hard time in my life that I had to just receive strength from the Lord. And many times I was like, Lord, I can't do this. Don't think I can do this. And it was a long road, many months of changing cast every 2 weeks because of the rate at which babies grow. They couldn't just put a cast on and leave it on. Had to change it every 2 weeks. And at 10 months old, he had surgery. And that, you know, I found myself a young mother, never really been away from home much, in St. Louis, Missouri. God was so faithful through all of that. Provided me a place to stay with a friend of our family. She was a widow, and she lived a mile or two from the hospital, straight shot. So here I am driving in St. Louis, and I've got a baby in the hospital, and God was so faithful. I look back on that now, and I'm like, God, you never left my side. He was so faithful to provide me a place, a safe comfortable place, free of charge. She fed me. She doted on me, and I would spend all day at the hospital. I was not allowed to stay there at night. They just didn't allow that in the children's hospital, but I would go home every night with her, and I found strength in me that I didn't know I had, and I know where it came from. It came from the Lord. And so the story, back to the story of Deborah. So Deborah is giving a word to Barak, and she's saying, Barak, and she's saying, the Lord wants you to go, and you're going to fight this. You're going to fight this battle, and God is sending you. And what did he say to her in verse 8? He says, Deborah, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, she could have had an attitude there and said, please. But she said, okay, I'll go with you. Very well, she says in verse 9. I'll go with you, but because of the way that you're going about this, don't know what she meant there, maybe his attitude or maybe his lack, his reluctance. Because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. So Deborah had to woman up, and she had to find some strength and say, okay, we're going to do this. Barak, I'll go with you. And so she found strength in the middle of everything going on there. In Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite verses, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that as a prayer when I need strength. You just lift up your eyes to the Lord, and he will be there to help you. Another trait that I believe that Deborah had was confidence. She was not afraid to tell. Now, Barak was the military commander, okay? She was not afraid to tell him what God wanted him to do. How many women like to tell somebody what to do, though, you know? I'm like, well, but now a military commander, especially in those days, that was not their culture. Women were really not, they were more to be in the background. And so she had confidence and was not afraid to tell him what God wanted him to do. She wasn't afraid either to straight up tell him, you're not going to get any honor out of this. God's gonna deliver, but he's gonna hand him over to the hand of a woman. She was surrounded by fear, as all the Israelites were scared for their lives, but she instilled security and strength into them by her very nature of, come on, let's go, we can do this. So she had confidence. You know, I find that as moms and as women, we can, you've probably heard this before, but I wanted to repeat it, the difference in being a thermometer and a thermostat. Have you heard this before? A thermometer, you just simply take the temperature, it's already set, you can't change it, you can't improve it, you just read it, the thermometer. But a thermostat sets the temperature. Okay, if there's sadness, you can bring hope and joy. If there's hostility, you can bring healing and peace. So I feel like that Deborah was setting the tone here of confidence, and she was setting the tone of, come on, we're going to do this. Let's not be afraid. Let's not shrink back. We can do this. So women, ask God to help you. I'm not by any means saying lead your family, because I believe that God has called the husbands to be the head of the household, as it says in the scripture. But ask the Lord to help you to set the temperature for your family. If, you know, if you're not confident in your own abilities, you can ask the Lord, and you need to. Our confidence comes from Him. I am very not confident up here today, but I know that this is good for me to get out of my comfort zone, and I know that God never calls us to do something that He doesn't go along with us and equip us to do it. So when you don't feel like that you're good enough, you don't feel like you're doing a good job as a mom, when you'd rather just blend in than have to step out, when you'd rather just hide in the back shadows, I'm asking you today to woman up. Step out in confidence. Let the Lord fill you with confidence and ask Him to help you be a thermostat and set the temperature in your home. Set the temperature of bringing peace and bringing healing and bringing hope and joy in your home. Amen. Psalms 27:3 says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. I'm going to read that one more time. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me. Sometimes there's war in our homes, okay? Our homes can be sometimes a place of hostility. But though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Sometimes the war comes from our own thoughts about ourselves. Sometimes it's hurtful words from other people, but sometimes it's our own thoughts. And so, you know, we need to recognize the Lord calls us, in Deuteronomy, He called His people to be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. He calls us His workmanship, a masterpiece. And those are the things that we need to find our confidence in, not in ourselves, but in who we are in Jesus. So another trait that Deborah had, and it kind of goes along with the other two, and I'm not really reading much of the story, am I? Is courage. So not only once did Deborah have to say, you're going to go. And he said, okay, go with me though. She's like, sure, I'll go with you. But God's going to give this battle to a woman. So when they told Sisera that Barak was coming, they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera, this is in verse 12. Sisera, 13, gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him. Then Deborah had to tell him again, the second time in verse 14, she said to Barak, go. One of the versions that I read, the different versions of the Bible, said charge. I thought about that. Do, 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 do. Charge! She had to tell him, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariots and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the troops of Sisera fell by the sword, not a man was left. Basically, they did charge. God brought them victory. All of them were killed, but Sisera got out of Dodge. Took off running. He fled by foot. Okay, so courage. I'm on courage. Deborah was throwing a curveball here. I remember the sermon Eric preached about a month ago. What do you do when life throws you a curveball? And I feel like Deborah was throwing a curveball here because she delivered the message that God wants you to do this, but the curveball was, oh, you mean I'm going to have to go with you? She was not expecting that. She didn't know it was going to require her to lead the way because Barak gave in to his fear. But twice she told him, go. And so I wanted to talk for just a second about gravity. When it comes to gravity, we know that gravity is a force that pushes things together, matter together, okay? You jump off a roof, you're gonna go down, okay? You know, I feel like there's a spiritual gravity. What is holding you down? What is holding you back? You know, the Bible tells us to cast off in Hebrews 12:1, not necessarily sin, but weights. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So fear, insecurity, failures, you know, it's easy to want to take the easy road and stay in your comfort zone. I love to stay in my comfort zone. But your comfort zone may not kill you, but it will keep you away from the purposes of God in your life. So you have to woman up and step out in courage sometimes in your home and with your children. As a mom, what are you giving into, moms? What are you giving into? What kind of fears are you giving into? This may seem silly, but it was important to me. When Eric and I first got married, I was so afraid of storms. Thunder, lightning, storms. I was so fearful. Every time it came a storm, I would just put blankets over my head and just, you know, very fearful. And I was conscious of the fact that when I had children, I could pass that fear on to them. You know, you can do that as a mom. Things that you're afraid of, you can pass that on to your children. My mom sort of did that with fear of water. My mom was very afraid of water, and we really never got to go swimming much because she was so afraid of water that if we got out past our waist, she was yelling, don't go any further, don't go any further. And so therefore I grew up really not knowing how to swim and actually kind of being afraid to get out in the water very deep. So I was conscious of that with my kids, and I prayed and asked the Lord to help me not to pass that fear on to my children. And you know, he took the fear completely away from me to where I wasn't even afraid anymore. Now, sometimes I'll just sit out on a porch and watch it, the lightning and the thunder. It's beautiful to me now. And my kids, I didn't pass that on to them. None of them were ever afraid. None of them are afraid of water. They all swim very well. So I'm just saying, as a mom, throw off the things, the fears, the insecurities. And the only way to do that is asking the Lord to help you walk in courage. Like Deborah stepped out and went with him to the battle, and she stepped out in courage and helped lead. So don't give in to fears. Ask the Lord to help you. The last part of the story is about four or five verses that it takes a twist kind of, and it talks about a different woman. And this, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, this is kind of a crazy Mother's Day message. I mean, really crazy? It's not all warm and fuzzy and you know, just sitting at Jesus' feet and worshiping him. No, these women were going to battle. They had to woman up, okay? And I wish life was all rosy and easy and beautiful, but as a mother, it's not. It's Charles Dickens' quote. I said that this week to Eric. He said, it was the best of times and the worst of times. Being a mom is the best of things and sometimes the hardest of things to do. And so these women went to battle, but they saw that God was faithful to them, and he will be faithful to you too. Cry out to the Lord for wisdom, for help, for being a mom, of know your children. And you can't, there's no textbook, there's the Word of God that teaches us, but there's no set answer for, okay, do A, B, C, D, and your kid will make it. No, it might be A and B for this child, and it might be E, F, and G for that child, and it might be X, Y, Z for that one, okay? They're all different, and you got to know your child and know, and the only way to know, wisdom comes from the Lord. So you got to pray and ask the Lord, how do I deal with this? What do I do? But let's read verse 18 through 22. So Sisera left. All of the troops were killed, but he got out of there and he fled on foot, and he found himself at the tent of Jael. Now she was the wife of Heber, and Heber and King Jabin were friends, or had a kinship. And so Sisera felt safe there, okay? He felt safe when he ended up at Jael's tent. And he asked her in verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right on in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. He said to her, "I'm thirsty. Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him up. She went a step above. He asked for water. She gave him milk. "Stand in the doorway," he told her, "of the tent. And if somebody comes by and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' you say, 'No.'" But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Whew, like I said, what a Mother's Day sermon, okay? Woo! Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to him, and she said, "Hey, come here, I'm going to show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite, until they destroyed him. Now, about Jael, that's a cruel story. I know it is. I'm like, oh. But one of the things, you know, this story, yeah, it's awesome, Deborah, but I kind of think that maybe the most remarkable part of the story might be the ending with Jael. You know, Deborah did everything God told her to do. She gave the word to Barak. She went with him. She helped with the you know, cheer him on, helped with the battle. But Jael, I feel like Jael was just in her lane. She was just in her tent. She was just going about her day like a normal day. It was the women's job then to put the tents up. How many times had she done that? Had she drove those tent pegs? And how many times did she feel insignificant? Like, I really don't matter. Nobody sees me here. They're just glad the tent's up. She just went about her doing her daily routine. How many times she was gifted in it? Maybe it wasn't necessarily her passion, but it was a job that she was assigned to do. This day was different, though. She was using the tool that she had used day in and day out, and God used her to help win a victory. I'm just telling you, moms, that you go about your day and you may feel insignificant, that nothing matters, and it may be the same thing over and over every day, but it's not insignificant. It's not. You have the greatest mission on this earth to raise a child, to love the Lord, to be kind and compassionate, to love people, to fulfill the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, and to love their neighbor as theirself. What you're doing is not insignificant, even though it may feel mundane day in and day out, but it is not. So, you know, every day you choose to lead and not live in fear and obey God, you're inspiring greatness. You can inspire greatness in your children and in those around you. So, two or three things real quick as I wrap it up. Our missionary touched on this a little bit about mentoring, about the students, how they found Jesus and they wanted to go tell someone else. And I feel like to measure your success as a woman or a mother, you should be mentoring someone. Now, you may say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. All it takes is practical. A lot of women come to me about things such as, I'm having trouble potty training my toddler. What in the world do I do? Or my teenager, you know, this is happening. What in the world do I do? Things that you have learned that you have been successful or maybe not successful. Maybe it didn't work for you and you learn things from what not to do. That is a form of mentoring when you teach other women, younger women, not necessarily even younger. Maybe you're the same age, but you know what worked for you. Mentoring them spiritually. You say, I remember when I struggled with this in my home and my husband and my family and my children. And, you know, mentor someone. It will bless you as much as it does a blessing to them. So find someone to pour your life into. There's no greater way to take your mind off your own problems than to invest yourself into someone else. And there's joy in serving other people. So who are you teaching practically and spiritually? Who are you pouring into? This scripture, we all know in Titus, it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. I looked up that word malign, and it means so that no one will represent the word of God in a wrong way. So this verse is full of practical and spiritual advice. You know, teach them to be kind, teach them to be subject to their husbands, teach them to be busy, but it also has the spiritual aspect to be self-controlled and to be pure. So mentor someone. Another thing that you can do to measure your success is humility. I find that not only do we need to teach others, but we need to be teachable ourselves. If you're always wanting to just tell somebody else how to do it and what to do, you have to remain teachable as well. And that requires being humble. And so are you humble and teachable in your own life? Proverbs 13:8 says, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction, whoever is teachable, is honored. So women, as we are as we go about our day and we have to woman up and we have to be women of strength and women of courage, remain humble and teachable as well. Another way to measure success is compassion. Do you care more about the needs of others than your own? You know, mothers get hurt. Mothers are human. Sometimes mothers get hurt. And sometimes we get hurt because of trying to be compassionate and trying to help others. But God calls us to be. In Psalms 34:18, I don't think this is up there, it says, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted and he saves those that are crushed in spirit." Sometimes being a mom, you put your heart out there and sometimes it gets crushed. That's okay. The Lord is near to those that are crushed in spirit. And he's near to the brokenhearted. And he will heal any hurt any of your heart. Continually remain compassionate for other people. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And we weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15 tells us. So I feel like that's a beautiful picture of compassion there. Wherever people are, I'm happy with you. When you're having a good day, I'll cry with you when you need someone to cry with you. So moms, join together. Sometimes we need each other. We really need each other, women and moms. You see someone struggling, let God use you through a heart of compassion to help them and weep with them. And then I feel like this touches women as well. Is offense. Women are easy to become offended because we care and we love deeply. And when you love deeply, you can become offended. And if you want to be a successful woman that womans up with strength and courage, you have to let offenses go. You have to walk in forgiveness. It's easy to become weary with others. When you see their selfishness, kids can be very selfish. When you hear the negativity, it's easy to become weary. But the Lord tells us not to become weary in doing good in Thessalonians. So in Matthew 6:14, he says, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So let offense go, walk in forgiveness, and be a woman of courage and strength, even when you don't think you have it inside you. Deborah didn't expect to have to go to battle. It turned out that way, and she did, and she cheered him on, and they saw God do a great, great victory. Jael probably thought, today's not going to be any different. I'm going to put this tent up, and I'm going to go about my day. But God used her to help finish out the battle with her normal everyday life. She was not insignificant. God used her. You are not insignificant. Let God use you as a mother, as a woman. Let God fill you up with his strength. Let me say a prayer with you. If you bow your head, if you would like a special prayer today, I'm not going to call you up here. I'm just going to say a prayer for you. But if you want the Lord to fill you with strength and courage, if you feel like many days you fail, if you feel like you don't know what you're doing, you feel like no one appreciates me and I don't have a good attitude about that, if you would like special prayers, everybody has their head bowed, every head bowed. If you would like a special prayer today, please raise your hand. I would love to pray for you. Several hands. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that motherhood was your idea. Lord, when you told Adam and Eve to multiply the earth, God, thank you for the privilege of being moms. And thank you, Lord, that you have all the answers when we don't. Lord, when we are weak, you are strong. Lord, I see the hands raised today of women, Lord, that just need a little extra help today. Lord, they need your strength. They need you to fill them with courage. They need you to fill them, Lord, with compassion. God, I just pray that today as they surrender their heart and life to you, Lord, everything, God, that you would give them the gifts that they need. Give them the wisdom, Lord, to be mothers and wives, God, in their home. Help them, Lord, to be a thermostat and to set the temperature of their home. Lord, to bring peace when there is no peace. God, to bring love when there's only hatred. Lord, to bring healing when there is hurt. God, use them, Lord. I pray, God, that they will rise above any shame and guilt from their past. God, that they will throw that off, and Lord, they will find their strength in you, forgiveness in you, and God, that they can start over. Lord, you sing over us. You rejoice over us with singing. So, Lord, help us, God, to step up and to be who you called us to be, Lord, to be full of courage and strength, Lord, to woman up, God, and to not let failures hold us back. Lord, I pray that today is a new day for them, and God, that they see themselves the way that you see them, and God, that they begin today, Lord, to lead, Lord, to be a leader with their children, Lord, and with other people to mentor them and to be filled with compassion, Lord. Help us, God, to live by the golden rule, Lord, and to treat others the way that we wish to be treated. Lord, I thank you, God, that our help comes from you. So, Lord, we lift our eyes today. We lift our eyes to the hills where our help comes from. Lord, you are the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you made us to be women and mothers, a gift from you. Use us, Lord, in the way you'd have us to. And we praise your name. Amen. Amen. I believe Eric has something he wants to say today.
Amen. Wasn't that awesome? It's a great, great, great thoughts and sermon. So the next time one of your friends comes to you and says, man, I got hammered this last Saturday, you said, let me tell you a story about somebody getting hammered, right? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, righteous men fall 7 times, but they keep getting up. And I think Treva made such a great point that Mother's Day is not always a happy day for many, many people that maybe feel like they failed. Things didn't work out the way you think. I would just say, and I really feel like the Lord told me to tell you this, it's time to get back up. It's time to get up. Continue on your battle. He gave me the, in Luke chapter 18, one of the sermons that Jesus preached was called the persistent widow, the widow who went to the unrighteous judge, and she began to ask for things, and the judge just said, get out of here, I don't have time to hear you. But because of her persistence, he finally gave her what she was seeking. In World War II, when Germany was just really getting ready to flex their muscles, they began to try to conquer the weaker nations around them. And they went into Finland, who didn't really have much military presence whatsoever. And so they thought they would just roll in and wipe Finland out. But the Finnish people, they didn't have a big military, but they had a big heart. And they have a word there called sisu, S-I-S-U. And it means bravery and tenacity. And I really believe like the Lord wants to sow that into your heart. It's great to have courage. Like Treva said, we need courage. Sometimes just to get out of bed, right? We need courage. But you also need tenacity. You need to be able to get out of that bed every day, even if you failed yesterday. Even if last year was an utter failure for you. It's time to get up. It's time to get out of that bed and let's conquer some battles. Because God wants you to be a conqueror. God wants you to pray. I believe that nobody comes into the kingdom unless someone's praying for them. I believe the Holy Spirit draws you because we have been praying for people. Moms, grandmas, don't stop praying for your kids. Maybe your kids are as old as I am. Keep praying for them. They need your prayer. They need you to keep calling their names. I heard this lady say this one time. She said, if you're not calling your children out and their names in prayer, who do you think is praying for your children? No one. That lies on you and you alone. Pray for your kids. I wanted to tell you one story and I'll stop. But my mother was a godly woman, a really godly woman, but not what you would call a spiritual giant. I mean, most of the time she just stood in church and never said a word. She'd sit there and cry through the whole service. I mean, all my life, she would weep. You think that I'm bad. She'd just cry all the time in service because God would move on her heart. But my brother was away in Springfield. He was at college, and the Lord woke my mom up one night about midnight. And this was very unusual for my mom, but my mom rolled out of bed. She's laying there beside her husband that doesn't even know Jesus. He's an alcoholic. She rolls out of bed and gets on her knees and starts praying for my brother. She doesn't know why. But she prayed and prayed and prayed for Carl. And Carl and my Uncle Doug and a friend of theirs was headed to Kentucky that night. And about midnight, Carl fell asleep at the wheel. And you know how sometimes you put sounds into your dreams. And he said he kept hearing this, what it sounded like a foghorn in his dream. And he said, finally I woke up. And he said, I'd veered over into the other lane. He said it was an 18-wheeler honking his horn at him. And they took off and had to veer off and went into a ditch. And those three boys sat in that ditch in that car and just bawled like babies that come that close. What happened? God used a woman. God used a mom to intercede. I love the part that you said, we see ourselves as insignificant. You're not insignificant. I'm telling you, God wants to use you. So, sisu, bravery and tenacity is what it takes for life. So, I don't know where your children, your grandchildren are today. They may be serving Jesus with all their heart, but maybe they're away from the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's time to hit our knees in prayer and pray. Ron Nelson called us one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. We were sound asleep, and he called us, and he said, and Ron was a veterinarian in his life. He said, I've seen things die. I've seen lots of things die, Eric. He said, and he told me, he said, Deb is dying. He said, they've given her medicine at the emergency room, and she's having a bad reaction to it. She's dying. And he not only called us, but he called a couple of the elders of the church. Again, we rolled out of bed, and we began to call upon the name of the Lord. And Deb is here today. God healed her that night, and they know it was a miracle. Don't think you're insignificant. You had your day. Go sit down.
I heard this statement last Sunday when we were out of town at a church. An older woman talking to someone, and she said, just because your kids left doesn't mean they're gone. And that speaks to me, and maybe some of you today, but just because they left doesn't mean they're gone. So never stop praying for your kids.
Amen. Amen. Hope you have a wonderful day today. Talk to your kids. Make sure you get some chocolate and a rose. Denny, would you come and end this with a blessing? Go ahead and stand with me if you would. You want to move back to the back?
Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.
One, two, three.